Amen. Who was, who is, and who is to come. What a wonderful proclamation right from the Word of God and right for us today. If you have your Bibles, we'd ask you to open them up as you're standing. This evening, we're looking at 1,000 years with Jesus on earth, and we're going to be with Him face to face. It's for reals. And in Revelation chapter 20, we're going to only be looking at the first six verses this evening. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he would be released for a little while." Father in heaven, we're grateful for your word this evening right before us. We thank you, God. It's the living truth, and it's the truth we need today, tonight. God, open up our hearts. Help us, Lord, to just be in wonder at what is to come, but all the more to be in awe of you today. Bless, God, this Bible study. Open our hearts. Minister to those, God, that are watching online. Encourage our hearts in the biblical truth, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, such a great blessing as we've been journeying through the book of Revelation, and on Sunday we're in Romans, and we'll be in Romans chapter 10. And if there's one word to think about for upcoming Sunday message, it's the word whosoever. And the Bible speaks about whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful. I am a whosoever. I am one of those. And I believe most of you are as well. But tonight we're in Revelation chapter 20. And we have been going through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, thinking back to chapter 1 and the glorious presentation of Jesus Christ himself, John receiving this revelation on the island of Patmos and writing down for us what he saw. And Jesus says, go ahead and please write the things which are, write the things which will be and the things to come. And so he speaks about the church. And there's seven churches specifically that are spoken about. But every one of those churches in Revelation 2 and 3, it speaks to us personally. And it speaks to our church. And it speaks to his church today. And then John hears a voice, come on up here. It's in chapter 4. John, the apostle, gets the privilege of an on-earth rapture. He's taken into heaven, and he sees what's going on in heaven, and he writes it down for us. Even this very song that we sang tonight, these are songs that come from the Word of God. These are songs that are being sung in heaven right now. And he writes all this for us. And he says, now I got to tell you what's going to happen before Jesus can leave heaven and come to earth. He says human history will advance to a place where there's going to be just a sense of evil and wickedness all the time. And Jesus says, I'm going to have to bring about a tribulation period to the earth. And it's going to be literally a 7-year period of time. And my friends, the Bible doesn't make up arbitrary numbers for our benefit. When the Bible speaks about 7 days of creation, it's 7 days. When it speaks about a flood for 40 days, it's 40 days. When it speaks about 400 years in the wilderness, it's 400 years. When they talk about 12 disciples, it's 12 disciples. When it speaks about 40 days after his resurrection, it's 40 days. And when it speaks about a 1,000-year reign of Christ, it's literally a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And I stress that because there are a number of people within the body of Christ that look at it in a different way. And I only want to look at it in a way that is laid before us, literally. 1,000 years is 1,000 years. And that period is going to come. It's called the millennium. But first, there's a 7-year period called the tribulation period. The last 3.5 of those 7 is called the great tribulation. It gets more intense. So bring it in for just a minute. Where are we at right now? Of course, we're here. And of course, the gospel is going out that we'd get saved. And of course, as men and women that get saved, we want God's word. And God says there's a mission for everybody. And the mission is to let Christ be made known. Let Christ come in and live within you. And then let Christ live his life out of you. And the heart that we would have is to see every man and woman and boy and girl come to faith in Jesus Christ. And to understand who he is. And to follow after him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love others. So he goes, that's the assignment I'm giving to you. It happens through being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Word of God and the Spirit of God and a willing heart to follow the ways of God. That's it. Because at some point in time, you're going to be with me. I have a place prepared and I'm going to come and get you. So if I die tonight, I'm in the presence of God, not based on me, not based on anything I have ever done. Totally and only based on what Jesus Christ has done for me and has done for you. So here we are, assurance of eternity with him. If you died today, if I died today, what would it be like? Absent from the body, present with the Lord in heaven. Like you can read in chapters 4 and 5, there is a tremendous celebration going on before the throne of grace. Will you see Jesus? First one that you'll see, he'll give you the evidence of who he is, the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world in heaven being worshiped. But what if I just continue living for the Lord right now? What's the next thing in biblical prophecy? The next thing would be the rapture of the church. That is, there is a seven-year period of time called the tribulation period. Prior to that tribulation period starting, we have this world filled with followers of Jesus and with those that are in rebellion to God. Either you're a believer or an unbeliever in the world. That's what it is today. A believer or an unbeliever. All believers, true followers, not church attenders, true followers of Jesus Christ, before the tribulation period, because it's God's wrath against all ungodliness, he's going to come and he's going to take all true believers to be home with him in heaven. So he's going to catch us up in the air. He's coming for his church. And then he'll take his church to be in heaven. And then if the tribulation period was going to start after this message tonight, all of us as believers would be immediately escorted into that heavenly realm where maybe your grandma or grandpa or a family member is already there worshiping God. We'll be in heaven. We'll be before the throne of grace worshiping God. Do you understand that? That's where we're at. That's where we're headed. We need this certainty today. This world is crazy. It's out of control. It's on its way to what God said is a great tribulation period. Things are set up like never before. But we need to be renewed in the truth of God's word. So God has everything taken care of. Well, what happens in that seven-year period of time? That seven-year period of time, it's called the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years takes place, and the Antichrist and the false prophet are on the world, leading the world religiously and economically and government-wise. At the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist, the world leader, wants to be worshipped. He demonstrates in a temple. Worship belongs to him now. And then it's called the Great Tribulation period, the last 3.5 years. All of it is a tribulation, but it just gets worse in terms of what takes place. Well, that seems rather sad. And it is a sad. Because if you can believe in Jesus Christ, or would, if you could be a whosoever, you'd be looking forward to heaven and not the tribulation period. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that that's true. I believe that the rapture is just a made-up little scenario that Christians put in place. Well, people do believe that. But that's not what I believe. I believe what the Bible says. And I believe that the Bible tells us that the tribulation period is the wrath of God against all ungodliness. Christ took my wrath on himself so that I would never have to face the wrath of God. So he's going to remove his church out before that tribulation period takes place. If that were not the case, listen now. If that were not the case, careful, think it through. People need to hold fast to what they believe. If someone believes, if a Christian believes they're going through the tribulation period, then I'm going to ask an honest question. Who are you looking forward to right now? If you're going through the tribulation period, which believers aren't. But if someone wants that position, you're looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm looking for Jesus Christ, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, you can have a position, but you got to hold fast. If that's your position, hold fast to it. If you want to own it, own it, but own everything that comes with it. Be honest about that. So we're looking forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ for us, for his church. And then we'll be with him in heaven. What goes on in heaven? Worship. But during the tribulation period, as we saw last week in chapter 19, there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is a wonderful feast that we're having with Jesus, the Lamb of God, in heaven. Was it just going to be for a couple hours? Friends, I believe it's a seven-year feast. That's what I think it is. And at the end of that seven-year period of time, in chapter 19, tribulation period's over. But there's still a battle on earth called the Battle of Armageddon. There's a real worldwide battle going on. Christ comes from heaven in a white horse, and we come with him on horses. Read it, chapter 19, his church. I think it's actually all believers over all time. I believe that Abraham lived, died in faith. Everybody from Adam to the death of Jesus Christ, they were there when Christ died, and it says he led a host of captives free. I believe that those who died in faith went to heaven with the Lord. And I believe that for us as believers, we're in heaven. And I believe if we're raptured, we're in heaven. And I believe that the tribulation saints, those who die a martyr's death in those 7 years, are in heaven as well. And I believe that when we leave heaven on that horse following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we think of everyone we're with. How massively and incredible it's going to be. And we leave heaven and Jesus comes and there's a battle on earth, and that those military people, they want to fight against God. It is over. It is done. It is complete. We don't pick up a weapon, okay? So just don't worry. He's got it all under his control. He is the King of Kings. The battle belongs to the Lord. This is all talked about. It's all prophesied. And when we come to earth with Jesus Christ, he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. And it's going to be a kingdom that he's going to reign and rule in for 1,000 years. It's called a millennium. 1,000 years. Reign, literally, of Jesus Christ on earth. I mean, how many times has one of the most popular prayers been prayed? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, how that prayer has been prayed. It comes out of the ministry of Jesus. And he's going to be here, and he's going to set up that kingdom here on earth. And chapter 20 begins to talk about that. It talks about, what are we going to do during this time? We're with Christ. What are we going to do? Well, you'll have a glorified body, my friends. Well, who will be on the earth during this time? So if we're coming from heaven, and God then, the people on earth, those that are battling during the tribulation, they turn against the Lord, and the Lord then deals judgment, and they all die, then who's really on the earth? Well, my friends, there are men and women and boys and girls during the tribulation period that never took the mark of the beast. They never followed the Antichrist. There's also 144,000 Jewish evangelists that never took a mark and were sealed by God to present the gospel during that tribulation period. So the tribulation period, when it ends, there are men and women and boys and girls that have never taken the mark at all. And they are there. And they're going to be living on earth. They're going to have human bodies that they have. We'll have a different body. But the situation in that millennial period is going to be quite different than what we know of today. Now, there's three views regarding the millennium, and it's important as we go through this. I want to be honest, there's different views that people have. One would be called post-millennia, millennium, so post. The other would be pre, and the third is amillennial. So the word post means after. Postpartum blues is after you have a baby, you may have Some emotions you never knew about. Post-part means after. So the post-millennialist, that view is that the world, listen now, that view, that position, is that the world's going to get better and better. And when the world has reached its proper stage of perfection, then Jesus will return and establish his kingdom on earth. But nearly anyone can look at the world right now and all of its wickedness and evil and see that the world isn't getting any better. But that's one position. So the position of post-millennialists is that, in a sense, cleaning everything up so that it's just perfect for the Lord to come back. And amillennialist means there's no millennium at all. The primary version says that there is no literal millennial kingdom. The kingdom of God is just spiritual in nature. And we are really in the kingdom age right now. I don't find Satan chained up right now in my world, okay? And a premillennialist would be this view. Listen, this is what I would hold. This view holds that the humanity will continue to denigrate. The world will go through a literal tribulation period. Jesus will return and defeat the Antichrist and establish a literal kingdom on earth and reign here for 1,000 years. This is the only view that takes these verses literally. And it's our opinion that this is the only true view of the millennium. So literally, it means, the word means 1,000 years. That's what the word means. Divide that in half in Latin, and it means 1,000 years. Well, why is there even a need for the millennium? That's a great question. There's a few things. One is, through this period of time, it will fulfill the Lord's Old Testament promises to the kingdom, to Israel. It's to put Jesus in all his glory on public display. It's to answer the prayer, "Thy kingdom come." It's to fulfill the promises that the saints will reign, that's you and me. To bring about the complete redemption of nature that was destroyed. To give man one final test under the sovereign rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at Christmas time, in the book of Isaiah, there's a scripture that is used very often, you know, on Christmas cards and a lot of the things that we communicate at Christmas having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it actually comes out of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says in verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." Has the government been upon his shoulders yet? No. The government has not been upon the Lord's shoulders yet. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to come for his church. And after 7 years, he's going to come with his church. He's going to deal with the final phase of the tribulation period in the Battle of Armageddon. And he's going to set his kingdom up on earth. Pastor, you feel very passionate about this? Absolutely. You know that to be true. Is there any other type of information or proof? Oh, there will be as we go through these scriptures. But can I appeal to you in another way right now? Let me appeal to you in this way. For most of us, as we're living in this day in which we live right now, these are times that we've not been familiar with at all during our time on planet Earth, with what is going on in the world, not just COVID-19, with the government situation, with the hostility with North Korea, with China, with Russia, with Iran, with Turkey and Syria, and some of the other areas that we could mention. There's more nuclear weapons now than ever before, and there's more of a will amongst some of the rogue leaders to use these weapons that can absolutely wipe out the earth many times over. That's the day in which we're living in. And because of COVID-19, we have seen an overreach of government upon our lives and upon our nation. We've seen national leaders say that we're going to follow the science. And I say, I'd rather you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his word, because truly, you're not being honest about following the science. And what has been exalted through this time is science. Science is the god of the human race right now. It's God. I could point out dozens and dozens and dozens of proclamations that science has made over these last many months of this year and show you that that scientific proclamation proved to be wrong. It wasn't accurate. It wasn't right. Some weren't even close to being right. We don't exalt science. We exalt Jesus Christ. We follow Him. All that to say is this. In your heart right now, there is a longing like you've never had before, a longing for peace, a longing for tranquility, a longing for someone in leadership to get it right and just have a sense of command. Now, the world is getting set up to welcome the Antichrist through all this. That's what the conditioning is going on. The control over people, all of that, it's a shadow of how close we are to the Antichrist. But for us as believers, how close we are to seeing Jesus Christ. Because your heart is jumping at, you know what? The only way out of this, it's Jesus. The only way out, it's Him. It's either He takes me home or He comes for His church. That's it. And we know that to be true, which to me just solidifies the things that we're learning through His Word, the things that He put in His Word for us. What a long introduction, Pastor. Chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. When we look at this and we see what was happening, because the first word is then. Well, what does that mean? Well, we just take our eyes up to chapter 19, a couple of verses up there to verse 20. Then the beast was captured. With him, the false prophet. They've been running the earth for 7 years. Who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with a sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him, the Lord Jesus, who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So he's saying, wow, the two leaders, the false prophet, the Antichrist, they are gone. They're in the lake of fire. And then what's next? What's next? You still got this other satanic leader. He's called Satan, the devil, the dragon, the serpent of old. And he was bound up for 1,000 years. Now, look up here for just a minute. Now, we know that Satan is a powerful being and that demonic realm is powerful as well. Unfortunately, listen, there is a great misconception. Many times people will equate Satan to be the opposite of God. And many times we'll take some of the attributes of God as all-powerful are given to Satan. Listen, nothing could be further from the truth. There is no comparison at all. Satan is a created being. Satan is a fallen angel. And we have seen other angels in the scriptures that have not fallen. They've given us the names of Michael and of Gabriel and working powerfully. But I want you to note right now in this scripture, this one who's ruling the table right now, this Satan, this devil, this serpent of old, how is he dealt with? He's just dealt with by an angel. That's it. It wasn't any particular angels, spectacular angel. And for me, as I read through this and I look at this, and I'm just trying to grasp the scenario, what this must have been like. Because this person, and in the scriptures, it'll tell us when there's a point that we may see Satan, this devil, this fallen angel, the expression is going to be, are you kidding? That's it? That's who we were afraid of? That's who we were intimidated by? The scripture refers to that language. But notice here, because I just worked through this scenario, I tried to create a video in my mind called Angel. So we just, you know, it could be Bill or Bob. I mean, it's not Michael. It's not a main guy. I mean, he's main to the Lord. I don't mean to, you know, shrink him down. I mean, he's an angel. He's a good guy. But just think of this. He's coming down and it says he has a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So he's got a great chain. So it's not a small chain. It's not something you wear around your neck. It's a great chain. I mean, this chain's going to be pretty big. So he's got a key and a great chain. And then so he has one arm free. If he's an, I don't know if he's like us. I mean, he's got one arm free. I mean, he takes on Satan. He's like, come on, boy. And he casts him in, look at verse 3, into the bottomless pit. We learned about that bottomless pit back in chapter 9. And even in Luke, or rather in Jude, it speaks about this place of, in Jude 6, it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, and I think this refers to the time before the flood and great immorality taking place, the angels who did not keep their proper domain in Jude 6, but left their own abode, he's reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And in chapter 9 of Revelation, we read about that bottomless pit. So Satan is going to be put into this bottomless pit. Notice in verse 3, they shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. They took Satan, in a sense, He celebrated the victory of Christ dying on the cross. He celebrated that. All of hell was rejoicing. We did it. We did it. We destroyed Jesus finally. We tried to start with Moses and, you know, see him killed. And then when Christ was born in Bethlehem, all the babies we killed. Finally, we've killed him. And how hell must have been rejoicing that day, that dark, dark day in human history. But someone once said, that's Friday and Sunday's coming. But in a sense, Satan rejoicing because Christ was in this pit. And this pit, this tomb, it was sealed. And there you are. Victory for us. Death doesn't hold him. And now he's in a tomb. And it's sealed. And he's going to be there out of action for 1,000 years. No demonic influence on the earth for 1,000 years. Excuse me? Yes. Hallelujah. None. Why doesn't God just do him under right then? Why wait 1,000 years? God's sovereign. You might have heard that on Sunday. God's in control. And there's a reason he's just going to use Satan as a tool to see who really wants Jesus. Remember we said on Sunday that there's the sovereignty of God, and yet there's the responsibility of every person to respond. You see that played out. Some people don't like that doctrine, but it's there. Election is there, but free will is there. Sovereignty is there, but free will is there. At the end of the 1,000 years, you see it in place. You have a free will. I'm going to let Satan be released to test your heart. Do you want me as your Savior that's been ruling for 1,000 years or not? And it tells us, you'll see it next week, more than the number of the sand did not want Jesus as the Savior. Can you believe that? They had the perfect place. They had the perfect environment. Satan was out of the picture. The environment, you know, talk about Greenpeace and all that. This is a beautiful environment. There is only righteousness. If anyone wants to do something wicked or evil, they're dealt with immediately. It's 1,000 years reigning and ruling Jesus Christ and all of his servants in this world. That's you and me with him. You'll notice again a seal for more than 1,000 years. For until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones in verse 4, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Pastor, what are we going to be doing during this time, during the millennium? During the millennium period, Israel will be the superpower of the world, leading the nations and all the earth. During the millennium period, the citizens of the earth will acknowledge and submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. During the millennium, there will be, listen, no more wars and no new taxes. There will still be conflicts. The conflicts will be between nations and individuals, but they will be justly and decisively resolved by the Messiah and those who reign with him. That's you and I. We're reigning with him. During the millennium, the way of the way animals relate to each other and to us will be absolutely different than what we experience today. There'll be a blessing and security for the nation Israel. It'll be a time of purity and devotion to God. It will be when the saints in the resurrected state will be given responsibility, you and I, throughout the earth, according to our faithfulness during the time we have here. So, Pastor, you said there'll be peace. All wars will cease. Yes. Isaiah 2:4 speaks about that. Listen, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. I believe that that verse out of Isaiah 2:4 is on the building of the United Nations. Perhaps after tonight's study, someone might look that up and to see if that's true. There'll be great joy because as the king's servants, nothing but joy. It tells us in Isaiah 25, verse 8 and 9, we have waited for him. We will be glad. We will rejoice in his salvation. There'll be holiness. This kingdom will be a holy kingdom. There will be rebellion, but Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. My friends, there's no Congress. There's no Senate. There's no Supreme Court. There's a monarchy. There's God, Jesus Christ, ruling in righteousness. And it does not take weeks, months, years, or lifetime for a decision to be made or for judgment to be put in place. It happens swiftly, immediately, and quickly because he reigns and rules in righteousness. This sense of holiness in Isaiah 35:8, be blessed with this verse. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. We're just serving the Lord. He's like, hey, where are you going? Well, just take the highway of holiness down to the end. And then, I mean, it's an incredible time. There'll be great glory during this time. The kingdom will be a glorious kingdom with the glory of God in full display. All the citizens of the world will be able to travel to Jerusalem and to see the glorified Savior face to face. Now, they're going to have to travel in some sort of way, but we're different. You know how Christ had a resurrected body after his death, burial, and resurrection? Remember where he could just show up and then he could be gone? And the doors could be closed and then it's like, does he have keys to this place? He can just walk right through. There's a different dimension. That's the body that you'll have. We'll be moving around like that. Yeah, let's go. I'm with you. Isaiah 35:1-2, it says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and with singing, for the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. There'll be comfort during the millennium. Jesus will fully minister to every need so that there will be no want anywhere on earth. Everything's taken care of. You know, right now there's a push for the government to take care of everybody. There's a word called socialism for that. But my friends, when Jesus Christ is reigning and ruling, he'll take care of you. But you know something? He wants to take care of you today. And for us as believers, we want to be taken care of by the Lord and by his people. There's a place that government has. It tells us that in Romans 13. And that place that government has is a place to provide protection and a sense of security for its people. But it's not called to take on the responsibility that's for God. And God works through his church and through his people. There'll be the removal of the curse in the millennium period. Listen to this, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. During the millennium, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Well, that takes place now, but the lamb's in the wolf's stomach. The leopard shall lie down with the goat, the calf with the young lion, and together even a little child shall lead them. A cow and a bear shall graze together. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and a weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not be hurt nor destroyed in all the holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know something? In the millennium, no health insurance. No visiting the docs. Why? Sickness is removed. The king will be the healer, so that sickness and death will vanish. Longevity will be long. It tells us in Isaiah 65:20, no more shall an infant from there live a few days. The child shall die at 100 years old. So at 100 years old, you're like a child during this period of time. Over 1,000 years, if at 100, you're looking like a child, this place is going to be populated during this period of time. I thank God for what's ahead. I thank God that He is in control. I thank God that we rejoice in the fact that we have been resurrected with Christ and we're with Him, that first resurrection with Him, and there's no more death at all. If you haven't received Christ, there's a second death, and that death is going to lead to eternal judgment. We'll speak about that next week. Let's close with our final verse here. And maybe, Hardy, if you can come back up and we'll go through one of the songs that we did earlier. You know which one it is because that's just what you do. In chapter 5 of John's Gospel, John chapter 5, this verse will encourage you right now. John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, most assuredly, or it can mean truly, truly, I say to you, John 5, 24, listen, he who hears my word, Jesus is speaking, and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So we believe in you, God. We believe in your word, and it says has everlasting life. When it says has, it's present. You do have it right now. It doesn't say you will have. It doesn't say you might have. It doesn't say you could have. It doesn't say you have, but it might disappear. It says you have everlasting life. Tonight, we need certainty. So a follower of Jesus Christ has everlasting life. When does that everlasting life start? It starts the minute you accept Christ. Does it start when I die? No, it starts the minute you have received Christ. You have everlasting life. Listen, and you shall not come into judgment. Praise God. Because you've been feeling so discouraged, so down, so condemned, so unworthy. But God, He brings conviction that draws us to Himself. The enemy, Satan, the liar, the deceiver, the one who deceives the nation, brings condemnation and separates you from God. Do you feel separated from God right now? It's because you're living under condemnation. If we are followers, conviction leads us to Christ. And listen, has passed from death into life. And tonight, we talked about this life, this eternal life that's ahead for us as believers. And we need to celebrate that. So let's stand. Let's worship the Lord with this song. Before we sing, it's just important this year, pretty much in each of our services, we call out to God. If you're at a place right now, we're grateful for each and every one here. But no one knows your heart except the Lord. And He's here with us and He's speaking to us. And in your heart before God right now, if you've failed to really surrender to Jesus, if you've never truly asked Him to be your Savior and Lord, I appeal to you, if the Spirit is working, say, dear Jesus, please forgive me. I repent of my sins. I'm the one wrong. And I want to turn from my past, and I want to turn towards you right now. And I ask your forgiveness for my sins. I receive your free gift of eternal life. Thank you, God, that I passed from death into life by receiving you. And may all of us, through this final worship song, as followers of Jesus Christ, affirm to him again a surrendered heart and to thank him for being in control, having everything worked out, and it's just a very short time before we're actually experiencing what the scriptures talked about tonight. In Jesus' name.